convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, we have with us today a very, very special guest. I always enjoy having Ted Flynn on with us because he's one of the people who is able to grasp sort of the essence of what's going on. And we talked a little off the air this morning. I was talking to him about a program that aired on 60 Minutes this last weekend. And they were talking about cheating in college. And there are all sorts of websites you can go to. For instance, you don't want to write a term paper so you can get your degree. Why, you can certainly go there and you can get somebody else to write your term paper, turn it in. And actually, a lot of these term papers are actually written by professors who want additional income, so they'll write a term paper for some student at another university, and it's turned in, and so the professor is cheating and the students are cheating, and then of course now they have new websites, and that is to determine who the cheaters are. And so they have the computers, they're able to actually see if they're plagiarizing, and of course track down. So many of the students are cheating today. Cheating is a way of life, but then after all, if there is no God, if there's no right, there's no wrong, what's wrong with cheating? But what happens to a society where, of course, there is no absolutes, no moral absolutes? And, of course, I think we're beginning to see what happens when society rejects God, what happened when we rejected God 40 years ago. Ted Flynn, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you. Good evening.
Well, of course, Ted's written a wonderful book. It's called Idols in the House. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the book and why you wrote it, Ted?
Well, I wrote it because of 60 Minutes the other night. You know, I'd like to get back to what we did actually talk about just, you know, this morning, you know, just to confirm our evening talk here. But Idols in the House is really just, it couldn't be more simple, but yet probably more profound with the material presented because it's scripture. The simplicity is that as a nation abdicates its spiritual responsibility to divinity, to deity, to God, then that nation, which is the first commandment, incidentally, of honoring the Lord first, as that nation doesn't really hold that true and dear as the preeminent thing in their own heart or in their own family or as a nation, then what happens incrementally and marginally, bit by bit by bit, that family, nation, person just goes off track. And then it's not too much longer before they don't even know really where they're at or even where they started from. And it's kind of like a ship, I think, that maybe starts from somewhere in California and then ends up in some place in Asia, and it knows where it's supposed to be. But even if it's just a degree or two off in its navigation, then that ship is absolutely nowhere near its mark. And right now, America is a nation without a moral compass and is very far away from really trying to even find any sort of normalcy. You know, we were talking this morning about the 60 Minutes, and refresh me a little bit. It was about cheating in college.
Right. It was about cheating in college. And in fact, they interviewed the people who ran the websites where the students could buy their term papers. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to study. You just give them a couple of $100. They'd come up with a term paper, and you'd get an A, because many of them were actually written by professors from other schools supplementing their income. And then, of course, they interviewed a professor who would actually utilize one of these websites to pick up the cheaters. And of course they found out that I think something like 30 students there in his class were cheating. And then the student said, well, what a terrible thing, you just don't trust us. Well, of course he doesn't trust them, because they're not honest. Well, some of them are honest. I'm honest, but well, all the other guys are not honest. And but what you have, if you don't have a concept of right and wrong, and you don't have this on your own, there has to be that external force of our Lord and the Scriptures. Then, of course, you end up with the moral anarchy that we have increasingly in America today. And of course, as you show so beautifully in your book, this isn't the first time this has happened. It happened to the children of Israel over and over and over again.
It's the story of Scripture. It's literally God's DNA is what it is. When I started doing this book, I started doing it 3 or 4 months, actually, before 9/11. And, you know, I started getting into it and then studying. And then, you know, for about almost 11 months, 10, 11 months, I lived nearly the life of a hermit. And, you know, I don't think I've been as intrigued by a concept like I have been this in many, many, many years. I mean, you and I have talked at length and share the same views on many, many things with the New World Order and globalization and what's happening behind the scenes that the average American is clueless about, and the average person in the world the same thing. But in 1922, they asked this famous statement of asking a babushka on the street, a peasant woman on the street of Moscow, you know, how did this all happen, the revolution of 1917? And again, you know, the simple yet profound answer was, in its absolute brevity, was we forgot God. And every nation in the history of the world is basically going the exact same route. Yes, there's modifications with technology and cloning and, you know, that sort of thing. But basically, it's all a symptom of a nation that forgets its first responsibility on earth is to worship their creator. And, you know, we could probably have a session that could, you know, go from now until probably this time next Monday and never cease the telling stories of interest. But it goes on and on and on, no matter where you go. Just to show you, just in the last day or two for me, I was just up in Boston. And I was at a very, very one of the elite universities in the United States and in the world. And I actually spent time with a person where we were a house guest as we were visiting our son up there, where she was over all of the graduate programs of this university. You had to go through her to get your PhD, in any graduate degree for that matter. And she was telling a story that all of the kids, many, many of the kids that got perfect 800s, actually they found had cheated, that they had actually broken into the computer system, hacked it, and come away with all of the answers.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Ted Flynn, author of Idols in the House. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention, we carry Ted's book, Idols in the House. We recommended it because it goes into the spiritual aspect of what's going on, and yet it's a very, very, very readable book. It's one of those books, you know, you get to a page and you say, you know, let me think about that. And then you may go back and even reread part of the page because it is profound. Now, Ted's written another book which we carry. It's called The Hope of the Wicked. And if you remember Hope of the Wicked, this book is entirely different, but it's so important because we have to face the reality of what's happening. We live in a nation that's forgotten God. We have our leaders. God bless America. God bless you. But look and see what they're doing. I mean, these same leaders that talk of God bless America and God's got to be on our side are appointing homosexuals to key positions in government. Say one thing, do another. You know, they appoint totally corrupt people. They protect their powerful friends and Enron and these other corporations who've obviously committed great crimes, and they go after Martha Stewart, but they don't go after the really big criminals who knowingly made terrible mistakes. I'm not excusing Martha Stewart, but I'm just simply saying that they distract our attention with that sort of thing, and it's an end result of what happens when a nation elects leaders who may profess to believe in God, but do they really believe in God? Why would anybody believe in God appoint homosexuals to key positions in the administration, the so-called Christian administration? Well, you will want very seriously to think about getting Ted Flynn's books. First of all, Idols in the House, and then, of course, his excellent book, The Hope of the Wicked. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and I just want to mention that we are going to have an all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 23rd of November at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we're going to be just talking about the problems that face America today, but the real underlying theme is preparation, because America is entering into the most difficult financial times of your life. And despite the fact that most people don't understand what's going on, all I would point out is that today, 50% of the formerly prosperous population of Argentina is living in abject poverty, as happened within the last year, because they did not understand the things we're going to be talking about at this meeting. We're going to go into the background of all of the various programs, and then we're going to begin talking about financial and personal and then spiritual preparation for the times that lie ahead. All day long program. It's going to start at 8:45, but the doors are going to open at 8:00 in the morning. There's going to be a luncheon. We're going to go till 5 in the evening, and the doors will be open at 6:00. We need to know how many people are coming for the cook who's going to be preparing the luncheon. We need to know how many of you are going to be there, because we have to prepare the syllabuses ahead of time. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and I sincerely hope that you'll be able to come, but we have to know as soon as possible how many people are going to be there. And then, of course, our guest today is Ted Flynn, and Ted, I've met back in Washington, D.C. On several occasions, and Ted is a writer. He's a person who really wants to use the written word to try to get ideas out so that people will understand what's going on. In his first book that I read, I know that isn't his first book, he'd written before that, but The Hope of the Wicked really is a tremendous expose of all of the various secret and covert organizations working behind the scenes today. Very similar to my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, but much, much, much more comprehensive. Tremendous, tremendous book. But the idols in the house gets to the very nitty-gritty of what this is all about, the spiritual battle behind the geopolitical battle. So pick up the story from there. You were talking about going up to somewhere north of where you live and talking to the people there, and they were saying that most of the young people who got the perfect scores to get into graduate school had actually cheated?
Well, not most, but they had, this individual had noticed, a lot of the scores actually from Asia, and specifically in China, to where they noticed that they were perfect scores. Anyways, without getting too much into that, they absolutely had uncovered that these students had hacked into the computer and had actually stolen the exam. And so certain people from Taiwan and China and one or two other Asian countries can no longer take the graduate record exam right now on online. They have to go and sit somewhere now, apparently, due to that. But just that situation there, and this gets back to where we could tell every single person, no matter the profession they're in, whether they're an orthopedic or whether they're a mechanic or, for that matter, probably whether they're even cutting a grass with a landscaping firm, what they're noticing everywhere they go is that the system is breaking down. We're becoming a lawless nation. And when you turn your back on God, you become to be a pagan. And then once paganism actually progresses a little bit further, you go into a more hostile state of barbarism. And this isn't new. This is not a new, unique thought here. And that's why you can have in the Washington, D.C. suburbs, you know, an older man with a younger boy, 17 years old, this Malvo, which, you know, I'm from that area, and it was very much a part of our lives here, to where they're indiscriminately laying down in a trunk and just picking people off randomly. So that's what happens when you forget God. And, you know, even up there this weekend, they had a graduate had just been cut loose from, you know, basically some sort of stipend that was fairly heavy financially. And the people in the administration were seriously concerned that one person could come in and do them physical harm, all the way to shooting them. Now, these are not irrational people. If you remember, this happened just in West Virginia a few months ago. It happened in Arizona about a month ago, where somebody didn't like the grades, I think, that they were getting in law school, I think it was, down there. But then that evening, we just, you know, there was a dinner at this house, and they invited their next-door neighbor, who was a policeman. And, you know, this is just in the space of a few hours of just regular conversation of people coming and talking. And what happened was somebody, a young man and a woman, had a fight in a Dunkin' Donuts in Boston. And so the woman actually she left the Dunkin' Donuts, got in the car, and drove her car through the window of Dunkin' Donuts, almost killing two people. But this is the principle that we're really trying to deal with here, that unless we put God in the picture, this country has virtually no hope. A country that aborts is a country with virtually no hope. It has no sense of destiny. It has no compass. It doesn't have any direction of what is right or wrong. Everything becomes relative. That's why you can see the youth without purpose. In about a month and a half ago, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, on the cover of Newsweek, the cover of the magazine said, Childhood Depression, subtitle, Why Over 3 Million Children Are Suffering from Depression. In June, the cover of Time magazine, the only word on the cover of the magazine was anxiety. That was it. And how all of America right now is extremely anxious. There's no safety net in their job. Everybody's worried about a 401k that is being eviscerated before their very eyes because of financial accounting that's all bogus and pro forma accounting. So this gets back to this macro thing. No matter who you are, where you are, or your profession, there's generally a lot of anxiety out there because the safety net of morality has basically eroded to such a place nobody trusts each other. And a great deal of society in general is not really doing the right thing. And what's happening is that's playing its way out in causing all of these anxieties and fears and depression in America.
Well, you know, Ted, there was a man named Aleister Crowley, and you wrote about him in your book, certainly The Hope of the Wicked. And he was an evil man. He was a Satanist, and he was a very highly placed Mason. In fact, you commented that he had been a 33rd degree Mason for 12 years before he was picked to go into the other echelons that most Masons don't even know exist. But, you know, he used to have a slogan. It was called, do what thou wilt, that is the whole of the law. In other words, you be determinant of what's right and wrong. What most people don't understand, what most parents don't understand, is that's what we're teaching our children in our schools today. That's what the DARE programs are teaching them. We want to teach you to make adult decisions. We want you to determine what is right and what is wrong. This is what values clarification is all about. And you 13, 12, 11-year-old young person are going to determine what's right and wrong, who lives and who dies. And, of course, those things should be determined by God. And if you don't have the external force of God, the external realization of God, that God has rules, and without his rules, why, there is no organized society. Freedom is the ability to do what you want to do. It's the ability to do what you should do according to God's laws. But we don't teach God's laws in school. In fact, we teach there isn't any God. We were all created from slime. And, of course, evolution is what we're teaching our young people. And then we wonder why our young people are quite willing to kill their children in utero, why so many young girls will have a child and then take the live infant and throw it into the toilet or throw it into a garbage bin with no remorse at all, because we've seared their souls.
It's everywhere. It's virtually everywhere. The pervasiveness of this culture right now has encroached well over a generation. I think if we were to come back and write a book, you could, you know, pick a year. You know, in cynicism, somebody could say the book should be written now. But when they took God out of the classroom in 1962 at the order of the Supreme Court, and actually the ACLU had formerly been the American Communist Party, and then Jimmy Carter, for a reason that I could never quite understand, gave him the founder of that movement the American Medal of Freedom.
Was that Roger Baldwin?
Yeah, it was a wacky thing now that I look back
I don't think it was wacky. I think that Jimmy Carter just was doing what his managers told him to do.
Oh, sure. He was famous for that. I mean, he didn't even pick his own cabinet in any position. But, you know, it goes back to, I put in the first chapter of the book, the story of, I had been working like last February or so on the book, and I came in one night late, and they had a man by the name of Robert Bartlett on television with Bill Moyers, and it was this program, this talk show program, and, you know, Bill Moyers said, and he was the senior vice president of the Wall Street Journal, very senior position, and so, you know, Bill Moyers asked him, he said, what caused the Enron debacle? Now, this was before AOL's writing down $54 billion in one quarter and up to $9 billion plus of WorldCom and Global Crossing and, you know, goes on and on and on to the tune of about $1.5 trillion has evaporated from, you know, paper right now, which is a lot of people's livings and 401s and money that they had put away in good faith for a lifetime. And so he said, what caused it? And there was a very simple answer. He said, America morally has lost its way over the last generation or so. And he didn't give a financial answer. He gave a moral one.
Absolutely. He's absolutely right. We're going to be right back here with Ted Flynn in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is a time I certainly want to mention some of the other items we have at Radio Liberty. Certainly, we are carrying something called Phonopoly. And if you have children in government schools, they're not being taught how to read or read properly. This is why so many young people have difficulty in school today. And Phonopoly will teach them how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, and they can learn in the process of about 16 to 20 hours something that will give them the opportunity to compete effectively in the world. Phonopoly is a wonderful game. It's not one game. It's five board games and two bonus games played, very much like Monopoly is, with, of course, a die to roll and cards. But, of course, the tape's there, and you learn then how to pronounce words and how to pronounce them properly. And the 12 rules, spelling rules, and pronunciation rules of the English language, a wonderful, wonderful gift for a child. Most of these programs are $300 or $400. This is $139.95, and a wonderful gift for your children or grandchildren. And then if you have children in a government school, get them out if you care about them. They're going to go after their heart and mind and soul. There may be some wonderful Christian teachers in schools, but let me tell you, there are some wicked and wicked people there, and they are using our educational system to indoctrinate our children in this idea that you determine what's right and wrong. There is no God. And so, you know, the homeschooling program put together by Dr. Robinson on 22 CDs will take your child from grammar school all the way to high school graduation for $199.95. You only have to buy the math textbooks. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV, WAR. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and our guest this afternoon is Ted Flynn, his book, Idols in the House. And the book has a great deal of scripture in it, but it's scripture that's so easy to read and is so applicable to what he's talking about. And he simply points out that time after time after time in the Old Testament, you find the children of Israel turning against God. And it didn't seem in that no matter how much God rewarded them and loved them and didn't want them to turn away from him, it was almost as if they were constantly being drawn away. And then, of course, when they were drawn away, there were consequences. And if anybody in the listening audience today thinks that there are not going to be consequences for what America has done and is doing today, why, you are sadly mistaken, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the hottest places in hell are determined and set aside for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Ted, you know, I really appreciated your book so much because so much of it is based upon scripture, but not boring scripture, but exciting scripture to read.
Yeah, you know, I actually I had a bit of a struggle with that. You know, Hope of the Wicked is a big book. It's 550 pages. And I felt like I possibly overdid it because, you know, a lot of people don't like to read big books. But so I wanted to keep this under 300, and it just came in underneath that. And when I looked at the data, I had a problem, and I said, you know, no matter where I want to, no matter what book I want to show a principle, a scriptural principle for life, then, you know, I could have shown thousands of scriptures. So I just chose to, you know, show the blessings and the cursings of nations of Deuteronomy 28, and the blessings and the cursings on people and, you know, of and what happens when there's disobedience. And you know what I'd like to do, Dr. Stan, is maybe move, my guess is this listening audience is really in tune with this stuff, which is probably why they listen to you. And they probably hear this and they're seeing the rot and the corruption. But maybe turn this a little bit to a proactive positive. How does the person who really wants to fight this flood of filth, how do they do it? What do they do?
All right, go for it.
And, you know, one little thing just that, you know, we even had happen to us yesterday. We were coming back from Boston and we ended up talking to our daughter on the phone who's a senior in college. She is she's student teaching. She's actually an English major, and she's student teaching. And she was actually chastised. She's having a terrible, terrible time. Very, very, very upbeat girl. And the teacher has spotted the student teacher, or the teacher that's over my daughter as a supervisor, has spotted that my daughter is a believer. And with that, almost from the second or third day, you know, in September or October, wherever she started, she's got a little bit of a personal vendetta now with my daughter. And it even was heightened to where some of the kids had been talking about God in the classroom. Now, mind you, this is first grade, tremendous age of innocence. And my daughter was loving it at first, and the kids just so innocent and fun, and that's who my daughter is. And so the kids have started talking about God, and my daughter, you know, at 21 years old, not really knowing the system yet, went over, really engaged the kids, and was having a great time with them. My daughter was called in the principal's office with the student supervising teacher and was chastised. She was shocked. She had heard about it from us. She knew about it. But then, like, all of a sudden, a bubble burst, and she was crying on the phone last night. You know, we're driving up Route 95, and she's crying on the phone. And she says, there were a whole bunch of kids talking about God, first graders. Like, it was cute. She said, you know, does God really have a mother? Does he have any brothers? You know, and it was just like a first grade, you know, 6 or 7 years old. And she said she had to sit there and couldn't even say a thing as a teacher. So what do we do? What's the answers? You know, there isn't anybody that's listening to this that doesn't have these same kind of stories. But I think the thing for us is we're going to have to, if this goes the way of previous civilizations, previous cultures, then it's going to probably get fairly rugged. You know, we're coming into some very, very rough times in America, and we are virtually on the precipice in this very generation, because we're going to bomb Iraq, in my opinion, and we're now going to be fighting 1.2 billion Muslims, and we're not going to be fighting Iraq. We're going to be fighting an ideology that is all around us. And without getting too much into the spiritual, you know, because that's a whole other thing, but the average person in America, in the world, who is really trying to profess a faith, in the future, if this goes the way other civilizations have gone, they're really going to need to bring their faith with them, pretty much like an astronaut brings their food in space. They're now going to need to do it. They're going to have it in their own home, like Joshua is for me in my house. We're going to serve the Lord. They're going to have to make a decision how to school their kids, who to have them around, versus the government mentality and education.
And I think right now is the time to get your kids out of those government schools. Hey, I want to get back to this, but we've got a couple of people been patiently hanging on the line here. Let's go to Richard calling from Alabama. Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I want you to comment and give me your opinion. Is scholastic norming and affirmative action in our schools, colleges, military academies, is that cheating, in your opinion?
Well, I think you're mixing apples and oranges. Did you hear the question?
I heard the question, but I didn't hear the last word.
The question is
the
question.
Is scholastic cheating?
Yeah. Oh, cheating.
Is scholastic norming and affirmative action in college, is that government-sanctioned scholastic cheating?
I think you're talking about apples and oranges.
I think we're mixing a few.
Right, I think it's wrong. I think, of course, it is demeaning to the black to take somebody who is incapable and put him into a position where he can't compete effectively. I think to train a man to be a physician who doesn't have the capability to be a physician endangers society. But that has nothing to do with cheating. Okay, anything else you want to say, Richard?
No, that's all.
Okay, let's go to Fritz calling from Maine. Hi, Fritz, how you doing?
Oh, good. Thank you, Dr. Monteith. I think my reading of different societies, that they've been destroyed by whatever they make an idol.
Right.
I know during the French Revolution, they set up the goddess of reason in the churches, and they wound up, their society eventually devolved into just anarchy, which is the way we're headed.
Yeah, we sure are.
Yes, we've enshrined above all other values the principle of liberty. For example, the Statue of Liberty. And in the end, it's this false sense of freedom that's going to destroy us.
Well, freedom without restraint results in moral anarchy, and I agree with you. Anything else you wanted to say, Fritz?
I think it's just, if you look at the Statue of Liberty, which is this principle enshrined, it says, you look at the words by Emma Lazarus, it says, give me the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Which is exactly what we've done.
It was built by the Masons. It had nothing to do with America. And the fact that most people think the Statue of Liberty was American, it just shows that they do not understand the Masonic history of America. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, bye.
Anything else, Fritz? Okay, that was Fritz, and Fritz is gone, and we'll get to James in just a couple of minutes, but I wanted you to develop your idea that you started out there, Ted, and you were talking about how, we had to have some sense of values.
You mean in the formation of America, or unless we abide by values today?
Right. Well, go ahead.
Well, when you take God out of the equation, anything else is possible. And that's what we're looking at today. We are right now a society that's virtually, we're not bordering on anarchy. We are now in anarchy. As a matter of fact, on tonight's news, we're a few hours ahead of you here, but apparently Osama bin Laden has released a new tape where they actually believe it's him. And he just took credit for five more incidences all the way from the bombing of the things that were going on in Bali and, the French tanker, et cetera, et cetera. When a society loses its moral compass of where it's going, anything else is possible to come in. And the premise of idols in the house as the absolute thesis praesis of the whole thing is that when you take God out, any idol can then supplant that, whether it's golf, it's entertainment, sports. I think to recreate, you know, a Sunday to recreate is very, very necessary. And I'm a big fan of sports. I like golf and tennis a lot. But there's a point where the recreation and the entertainment becomes absolutely the obsession. And America has reached that now in a very, very significant way. There's no such thing as the Sabbath in America, which happens to be one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have only 75 words. That's it. 75 words. They govern the universe. But look what happens if there's just the breaking of the commandment of one. Look at the problems in a family. Just take any given family when there's adultery. Look at how it plays all the way throughout. Then you've got many times divorce and bitterness and alienation. Then you've got the neuroses and psychoses of people and children many times for a whole generation. And look at the blessing specifically in Genesis where you know, if a family lives really godly, then the Lord says to 1,000 generations you will be blessed. But then the sins of the father are visited upon the children 3 and 4 generations. And so it gets back really to sin. This is something right now that, you know, due to political correctness and everything being watered down and neutrality, nobody is really calling what it is, and it's really sin. And until we get back to that aspect of life that you or I didn't create here, but the Word of God is the Word of God, and it's going to outlive all of us. And the facts are, when we live according to the commandments, it just goes better. When you go to your car tomorrow morning and you gas it up, it just works better on gas. If you perceive that you think the car should smell sweet, I guess you could probably throw molasses in there, but it just isn't going to work as well. And as human beings, we just get gunked up if we really just don't live according to the Word of God.
Well,
that's where America is right now. It has to make a choice to get back to God. And unless we do, we're like a grease pole right now. We're going down very, very, very fast. And unless we stop it through some sort of either divine intervention or a group of very, very courageous people doing something in a very unique way right now, America has no hope as a nation.
Well, I think we're going to see some very difficult times, and hopefully people will begin to listen to your message and mine at that time. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. James is calling from Virginia. We'll ask James to call. Hang on there, but right now, of course, I want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out there across America who hear our programs, who believe that you're going to hear unique things and unique interpretations and understanding of what's going on, and hopefully many of you will decide to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every day and on almost 50 outlets across America every week. And, of course, it's an expensive undertaking, but we do it because we believe it's important. We believe if we lose America, we lose everything. And if you agree that we are in a real moral and a crisis today, that America has forgotten God, as Ted said so well, that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and that society reflects the church, and look at society today. It tells us a lot about the church today, because we've lost our way. We've lost what Christianity was really all about, and we've got too much organized church and not enough true Christianity. And we've lost the message of the Bible completely, and now we just want to go along and get along. And you never want to tell anybody that they're a sinner saved by grace, because that would hurt their self-esteem. Oh, no, we want to make them feel good about themselves. And we've got an awful lot of Christians with a lot of self-esteem. And that's one of the big problems we face today. Well, we hope if you agree there's a problem, you want to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, we'd love to have you. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can join the Radio Liberty family. But remember the number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today. Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Ted Flynn. The title of his book is Idols in the House. It's available by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we also carry his other excellent book, The Hope of the Wicked. But right now, James has been waiting on the line. He's calling all the way from Virginia, back pretty close to where Ted is. How are you this evening, James?
Well, thank you. I think Ted has come up with the exact verse at 10 points, what calls 9-11, Ezekiel 16, verse 49er. And it says pride, and that's the original sin, the first deadly sin. And that's being interpreted, I think that it's talking about blaspheming God that's going through our communication system. This is overwhelming our communications, this foul language. And I think that's where we're going to have to start to do something about it. And to get some blasphemy laws passed, or they already have them on the books, and they've been ignoring them for years in the Comstock obscenity laws. And Ted has come up with the exact verse that I've been looking for a year. I've listened to everybody. And some of them said it was abortion, but the main reason, I think blasphemy is twice as bad as abortion. I really do.
All right. Well, we got real problems. We're under attack, whether it be pornography or AIDS or crime or abortion or the breakdown of the family. America is in the final stages before it will be destroyed. We are going into a war with 1.2 billion Muslims throughout the world who are quite willing to die for their faith. That's the one way they're sure they are going to get into a paradise. How many Americans are willing to die today for their faith? And I don't think there are very many. I don't think there are very many who are willing to do anything. They just want to lead the good life and be left alone. But unfortunately, when the good people abdicate the responsibility for what's taking place in society, the evil and the wicked people take over. So, well, thanks so very much, James. Anything else you want to say?
No, thank you very much.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, fine. All right, telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let me just point out, we're on the verge of a financial collapse. The Muslim world is planning on creating their own international currency, and that will be a gold dinar, D-I-N-A-R. And, of course, if they once demand payment for their oil in gold, at that time, the American dollar will cease to be the reserve currency for the world. And, of course, you will see happening in America what has recently happened in Argentina, only in spades. Why don't you pick up your thoughts, Ted?
Oh, boy, you've just hit on something. I follow the financial very, very closely. As a matter of fact, I have my computer on all day. I track the market, and people email me because, you know, my background is economics and finance, actually. And I had just seen this thing about the Muslim Arab nations looking to have their own currency backed by gold. J.P. Morgan alone is, most people don't even know what derivatives are, but it's basically debt. And when you hear the head of the Stanford Research Trust say he didn't really know his exposure on loans because of derivatives, that doesn't really inspire confidence in our system. But we could get on that like for another 20 hours alone. But you've got a company like J.P. Morgan that's got over almost $26 billion.
$26 trillion.
No, $26 trillion.
$26 trillion. You know, when you're talking about billions and trillions, it doesn't seem real. But it's $26 trillion.
Trillion dollars in derivatives. I'm sorry. But this is how our whole system is based on silt. Everybody driving around in new cars is basically driving around on debt. But I had actually heard about this thing just very recently about the Arab nations looking to devise their own dollar based upon gold. And they know the West is spent right now. And if they do that, which it looks like it's going in that way, we're finished. And the principles that I try to use in the book, as much as I try to use a lot of the facts that show that America is a lie, I'm showing that what America is in rhetoric, they are a lie right now on paper, whether you look at drugs or internet or sex, entertainment, pornography. And I just show the data, especially a lot on the family, is very, very convincing. And it's not just with an axe to grind, but it's just simply to show it vis-a-vis the standard of Scripture, that we're not just falling short. We're actually flaunting it in God's face. And there's a difference in humility and being weak, but there's another difference between bold and being very, very weak and arrogant and proud. But the principles that I show in Scripture is that, you know, using many times the nation of Israel, is that when Israel got defeated, they said, we're going to go make our, you know, we're going to go make our cities and our buildings bigger and stronger. We're going to go down to the quarry and we're going to get better stones. Right while I was writing that, former mayor of New York, Koch, had just been on TV after 9/11, like 2 or 3 days, and he said, we're going to go build those buildings bigger, we're going to build them stronger, and we're going to build them higher.
Just like the Israelis, huh?
Just like Israel with their pride. And then the Lord let them get smashed again and again, and only when they were defeated were they willing to say, Yahweh, we will now do it your way. And that's where America is right now. It's not really totally convinced that God has more answers than we do. And they, right now, the believers are very, very much of a remnant and a minority. And I believe that we're going to get smashed in proportions that are going to make 1929 look like it was, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club.
But, of course, most people aren't going to believe that. Oh, it could never happen here, right? You know, of course, we are the strongest and mightiest nation in the world. We have nuclear weapons. We can destroy any nation we want to. Look what we did over there in Afghanistan, and look what we're about to do in Iraq.
Enron was a very big company one day. It was, I think, 7th or 8th in the Fortune 500. WorldCom was a very, very big company, and, you know, Global Crossings was a very big company, but they ceased to exist. AT&T, where my family had actually spent their whole careers, uncles and father and everything else, their whole career after World War II, the company is basically a shell. There's very, very little to it, you know, and they just continue to lay off, and they lose market share year after year. So the Lord has his ways. He doesn't lack in creativity or imagination of how to bring his people back to him. And I'd like to really just make sure this point is very clear. When a nation is purified and chastised, it's actually God's mercy. That justice is God's mercy. Now, a person who is in Scripture and a person who is a believer, and when they wake up out of bed and they, you know, look at the sunshine, they can basically look at things from many times God's perspective, even though they may not grab it all the time. None of us do. But that this justice coming up is actually God's mercy. And the Christian person, the believer, is going to have to make sure that when times really get tough, that they don't turn like Job's wife and almost curse God. Because things are, we are on the verge of very, very rough times in America, economically, socially, financially, you know, housing, debt. And when the rug is pulled out, in less than a year, I've never actually given a date, but if we go into this thing in Iraq, this is a virtual disaster for America. And we at that point are going to be dealing in ways that this nation has never, ever dealt with or even thought about.
I wouldn't disagree with anything you've possibly said. But of course, God is going to get the attention of the people of this country one way or the other. My hope is that conversations such as we're having today, and as we have here on Radio Liberty almost every day, at least we have a small cadre of people out across America who understand that it's all spiritual. We are involved in financial problems, but behind that are the spiritual forces that have energized this massive debt system that has beguiled people, and with a false sense of prosperity, but it's all false. It's built upon a house of sand.
Well, we've done similar books on what, you know, people generally put into the genre of conspiracy theory. But there's actually three levels of that thinking. And number one, there is a good force, there is goodness, there is evil, and people are going to, at some point, intellectually and emotionally and spiritually, ask the question, if there's a God, is there a devil? And if there is a Satan, what is his form of government on the earth? Nobody can ever answer that. God's system of government on the earth is through his people, his clergy, some sort of system of governance. And usually the supreme form of governance of God in the world is through the heart of man, through the heart of an individual. Now, then you get down to another level, which you see a lot here in Washington, about shared vision. Now, there's a really good chance that if Hillary Clinton becomes president, or whether it's Tom Daschle or Al Gore had become president, that he was not going to come solicit my help or even your help for their views. Why is that? And you know, you laugh. This is very, very interesting, because this is the core issue why a lot of people do not get this. It's not necessarily a conspiracy on the level of every single day activities, because it isn't. What it is shared ideology.
Right, they have a different worldview.
Sure, and it's an ideology. Now, yes, there's the Council of Foreign Relations, and yes, there's the Bilderbergers and their skull and bones. They have an agenda, and it's basically control. Now you're kind of bumping it up a little bit from a person who will go door-to-door for some sort of social policy, maybe for, you know, Planned Parenthood or Save the Whales, for that matter. So it's on different levels. And ultimately, we have to work our way to the level that there is a force at work in the world to control the heart of mankind. That's what we have to get to.
Amen. And of course, the force that is going to control the heart of mankind for good is our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Ted, we're out of time. It's always a pleasure having you with us. And I think that sometimes people like to have more exciting programs. To me, this is probably one of the most significant programs we've ever done. Because, of course, until people understand that until man turns back to God, we will continue having problems. Why? And until America is willing to accept his sovereignty rather than the sovereignty of the Republicans or the Democrats or Bill Clinton or Al Gore or George Bush, for that matter, we will continue having problems. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to having you with us again very shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, and God bless you. Well, this is Dr. Stan saying, pray for America. Pray for revival, because if we don't turn back to God, God is going to turn his back on America forever. And then, of course, pray for our leaders, our ministers. But please remember to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty. And we'd love to see you at that conference we're going to have on the 23rd of November, just less than 2 weeks from now. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR if you can make it. Until tomorrow, Dr. Stan, goodbye. And may the Lord be with you. you talking to there?
I was talking to Lynn, and then some guy who called wanted up with a live broadcast that he was listening to the one from last night and wanted to know about the